God, the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us. Amen. Compassion, commission, conditions. Before sending out the disciples, we read that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and infirmity. This is the work that Jesus is now calling and training his disciples to do. Respond to the needs of the people, relying on God's provision to carry on the work that Jesus himself has been doing. In their travels, Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Where were the Jewish temple leaders, the ones who were supposed to look after the lost sheep of Israel? Weren't they the ones who should show compassion on their people? Where were they when the people needed clothing and food, or when they were sick? Sadly, the Jewish temple leaders did not see the crowds that were harassed and helpless. They did not show compassion on them. In their heartless, pious righteousness, they only added to the oppression the people were already suffering under the Roman rule. Have you ever wondered if God perhaps looks at us and sees us harassed and helpless? Do we look around us and see others as being harassed and helpless? Jesus saw the helplessness in these lost sheep of Israel and realized the need for workers. There were numerous people who needed to hear the good news of what Jesus had done and was continuing to do. Crowds who needed to hear about the kingdom of God. The harvest was plentiful, but the laborers are few. There was a need for laborers. There is always a need for laborers. The disciples are to do precisely the same work as Jesus did. Jesus knew that those who were called to labor would have to labor hard, for the task ahead of them was to be not only difficult, but also dangerous. Jesus is giving his disciples authority, not authority to give orders, but authority to serve others. And he knows that their task will not be accomplished without prayer. Jesus was very specific about where, how, and under what conditions they should begin their task. Take only the bare necessities. Some of you may remember the 1967 Disney movie, The Jungle Book, and the song, The Bare Necessities, sung by characters Baloo and Mowgli. One of the lines goes, "Rest at ease with just the bare necessities, and the best of life will come to you." I wonder what to us would be considered the bare necessities. This reminded me of an interview I heard on a radio show some years ago about traveling with only the clothes on your back. A woman was being interviewed about her experience with this. Apparently, she had met a man on one of those dating sites. She had only known him for about a month when he suggested a baggage-free trip. Nothing but the clothes on your back. Well, she said, even though she didn't know him very well, she was bored with her life and decided she would just go for it. Her partner took nothing but the clothes on his back, but she confessed to taking a small clutch purse with a few personal items. They purchased a one-way ticket. I can't remember where it was. They worked to earn enough money to get to the next destination. And she said it didn't matter that they wore the same clothes every day because nobody knew them. They traveled for months doing this. Certainly not my idea of an ideal vacation. She told the interview that she was glad of the experience, but she would never do it again. and she and her travel partner were still friends. Now Jesus is sending his disciples out with nothing but the clothes on their backs. He seems to be saying, don't encumber yourself with a lot of extra baggage. Trust in the generosity of others. You are entitled to enough food and clothing with which to live by frugal joy. But never ask or take any more than enough. Some of you may remember that short arrow prayer, I pray you enough. How different is that message from what we are bombarded with hearing today from social media? We need bigger, we need better, we need more. And they promise that the bigger, the better, and the more will bring us joy. Really? Is this the stuff where we are to find joy today? Certainly not frugal joy. In preparing his disciples for this task, Jesus went on to warn them that their work they will be called to do will have dire consequences. Homes will be divided, brother will rise up against brother, parents against children. They will be flogged by synagogue courts. Discipleship can be costly. How then are they supposed to endure under dire circumstances? They were to meet persecution with prayer, trust, and faith. Meet persecution with prayer, trust, and faith. Even that will be difficult to do under the dire consequences. Thankfully, we here in Canada are not called to labor under dire conditions, as were the early disciples. But sadly, there are still places in our world today that are. I recently read that in many parts of the world where Christians are being persecuted today, Christianity not only strives, but thrives. Have you ever wondered why this is? Christianity not only strives, but thrives in parts of the world where Christians are being persecuted. Perhaps the difficult conditions in which earliest disciples labored offer strong encouragement for those facing difficulties, even today. Just as Jesus commissioned his disciples, so too Jesus commissions us. We too are called to have compassion on the harassed and the helpless. God's not asking us to be a Mother Teresa or a Martin Luther or a Desmond Tutu. We all have different roles and abilities. We can do God's work wherever we are and to the best of our ability. And we are reminded that as Jesus walked with his disciples, so too he walks with us each and every day. May God give us grace and courage to continue the mission he has called us to do this day and always. Amen.
Amen.